From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all 7 died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the 7 had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the one God, the Holy Trinity. Amen. Stop wasting our time. Whether it was reading the gospel text out loud at my kitchen table or closing my eyes, imagining myself with Jesus in Jerusalem, my response to the Sadducees all this week has been the same. Stop wasting our time. This is the third controversy in this chapter of Luke, and it's the last week of Jesus' life. The Sadducees' question does not emerge from sincere, well-meaning curiosity. Regarding the resurrection, they are certain in their disbelief. They create an unlikely scenario using the Levirate marriage custom. And this example is outrageous to everyone. It's so over the top that they do it to give Jesus grief, to mock him and his beliefs. This disingenuous theological question stands in high contrast with Jesus' ministry of good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. These are Christ's priorities, Christ's mission. The Sadducees are wasting our time. But Jesus, our exemplar in all things, stays engaged. When others might raise a hand and turn away, he stays true to his life-giving purpose and message. God is God of the living, on this side of life and the next. Jesus' response recalls Moses and the story about the bush. He asserts that the living, that is the resurrected, are being spoken of because the dead could not have a God at all. Remember, God says to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But what's just outside of Christ's citation of Exodus here? That little bit informs everything. For here is what God says in God's next divine breath. I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt. Indeed, I know their suffering. God's identity and compassion for the suffering are revealed together. In fact, compassion drives God to reveal God's self. And this truth is revealed fully in the person and life of Jesus Christ, who just in a few more chapters will destroy death forever through his resurrection. The Sadducees' question now seems downright clownish, set in this larger salvific frame. And it makes me wonder, why do we do that? Why do we human beings sometimes or often prefer the wrong questions, the small questions, and a selfish non-concern for the world? Why are the Sadducees asking, whose wife will she be in the resurrection, when Jesus and his disciples are overwhelmed ministering to the physical and spiritual needs of the people? In my observation of human nature, when faced with difficult problems for which there are no easy solutions, it can be tempting to deny reality and avoid challenges. In other words, it's tempting to waste time. So the good news is that God and God's compassion and grace are present in every realm of existence. Even in our denial, avoidance, and stubbornness, none of us are outside of God's power and reach. And regarding the resurrection, the sweet by and by can be something to look forward to. But our embodied lives on planet Earth are precious to God right now. No need to wait. God is present. Love is present in every realm of existence. Which means, my friends, time's a-wastin'. With disingenuous questions, distractions, and denial, these time-wasting behaviors conflict with who we are called to be in this world, followers of Jesus, children of God. And oh, what a difficult and divisive time we live in. God sees our suffering and our struggles. And the Holy Spirit is moving to inspire and assist us in honestly facing the challenges of our age, which right now can simply be talking to someone with whom we disagree. My youngest child is a senior in high school, and I recently overheard him talking with a longtime friend, and they were disagreeing about something. And here's what he said. I love you. You are dear to me. I think you're wrong, and I'd like to explain why. I think that's pretty good for a 17-year-old. I think that'd be pretty good for any of us. And it brings to mind a book published this year entitled I Think You're Wrong, But I'm Listening, A Guide to Grace-Filled Political Conversations. And among the guidelines that authors Sarah Stewart Holland and Beth Silvers provide are these. Give grace. Get curious. Find your why. Jesus is, of course, the model for staying true to his why, to his purpose, to his mission. And what is Jesus' why? We can go back to Exodus. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have seen and I know the suffering of my people, and I have come to intervene and to bring life. As followers of Jesus and his life-giving way, his priorities are our priorities. And like Jesus, we are to stay engaged and stay connected, even in the face of difficulty, in order to partner with God in God's life-giving mission. I don't have to tell you, communities are flooding, communities are burning, coral reefs are dying. The faithful of this age are not asking how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, or whose wife will this woman be in the resurrection, or spending time with debunked conspiracy theories. The faithful are, with God's help, making a life-giving difference when and wherever they can, working to heal relationships and heal creation. Think of Mr. Rogers' sage advice. In times of trouble and tragedy, look for the helpers. They are there. They're likely you, too. But they are there, and we see them. We hear about them from friends, and we even see them in the news, and we see them in the pews. And so look around at one another and the goodness that you bring to this life, to this world, and your faithfulness. It makes a difference. Be encouraged by one another. God is the giver of time, inviting us to make the most of our time, leaning into reality and making Christ's mission our mission. Grace is pouring out upon us now to be courageous and faithful, grace-filled conversation leaders and doers of good deeds, pointing to and being revealers of God and God's compassion and grace present in every realm of existence. God is the God of life. And this is the ministry to which we are called for this time, for all time. Friends, stop wasting time. Amen. Thank you.
trust the light to show my darkest parts. With wounds of truth and love, a friend who is there for me. A fool would keep his secrets in his heart.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.